And in a moment, we will go live to the United Kingdom. Linda Moulton Howe standing by with witnesses as well for a night of high strangeness on Coast to Coast AM. Well, she heads up the website earthfiles.com. She's our investigative reporter, and every month she goes all over the place for moments of high strangeness. This time, it's taken her to the United Kingdom. Let's pull in Linda Moulton Howe. Linda, how are you?
George, you will not believe this. I am looking at a brand new digital series of images from a brand new formation this morning. And with me are our originally intended guest, Andrew Perka, who is a taxi driver from Cheltenham, about an hour from where we are sitting in Wiltshire, with his colleague, Paul Jones. And they are going to talk to us about a phenomenal piece of video that they got that was of a what appears to be some kind of an aerial craft in the sky. But he now has a live report this morning on the way to come and do coast of three, at least, new formations. And I'm going to put on the line Andrew Perka from Cheltenham to give us a firsthand breaking news report. And the photos I have just looked at, George, on his camera, they are clean and pristine and beautiful, and it rained hard here most of yesterday. Mud everywhere. He has mud on the bottom of his trousers, and you're still looking at beautiful circles. Here is Andrew Perka from Cheltenham.
All right, take it away.
Hello, George.
Hi, Andrew. Good to have you with us.
No problem. Yeah, it's quite an exciting morning. It's we were driving in, obviously, to be on a show, and quite a nice sunny morning. And of course, we spotted the first formation, and we were quite excited about this. Lovely and clean, beautifully designed. It's the actual corn is nice and crisp to the foot at the same time. And of course, my colleague reports is, well, maybe there's another one. And of course, we drove up the road and literally about half a mile further down, and there it is. There's another one. And so we managed to take a couple of snaps, and of course, we were rushing towards the show, so we couldn't go into this one. And then literally as we approached Avery, yet another one. So it's we've got a hat trick this morning. So incredibly fascinating, incredibly interesting what obviously happened last night. So it's definitely something to look forward to later on when we finish the show and we need to pop back in there. Just pass it back to Linda now.
Super. Thanks, Andrew.
And George, what they're going to try to do, we're now going to go into their silver craft sighting. And at the commercial break, they're going to go to the one at Avebury that they haven't been into yet. And if they can get back in time in our last half hour, they're going to try to give us a live report. And it depends upon whether they encounter an angry farmer or whatever conditions, but we're going to try.
And set the stage for us, Linda. What's going on out there?
What got you up? This has been a season of some of the most extraordinary oilseed rape formations that, contrary to some of the absolutely mindless and groundless headlines that circulate on the internet that 80% or 100% of crop formations are man-made, in the face of facts and people who know what they're talking about, the spring season here was without doubt. No human could have worked in oilseed rape and made the formations they did. And then with Paul and Andrew, it was June 14th, and they had gone trying to see a formation, which was the Aztec Bird Formation near Barbary Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmer was angry and did not want anybody confronted them, would not let them go into the formation. So they are turning their truck around, and they're going back down a hill from Barbary Castle. And Paul is the one who has videotape on tripod. Andrew is the one who has the handheld that we're going to get into here in a minute. And I would like to have Andrew start by describing what it was that brought their attention to something really quite strange that then led their attention to this other thing in the sky.
All
here
right.
is Andrew again.
All right, very good.
Yes, hi, George. Yes, first of all, what I'd like to mention is actually the perfection and the timing of this event. If you imagine English country roads with hedges and trees blocking the view of surrounding fields, you can't see a great deal. So as we drove down from Barbary Castle, there was a gap in a hedgerow, approximately 10 foot or so, so okay. It was very minimal. Our approximate speed was about 30 miles an hour, so we were really coming down quite slowly. As we approached this gap, it is at this point that I noticed something very, very big and black swirling extremely fast. It was almost like watching something in an animated motion. My point here is that what followed later would have been impossible to spot from a distance while driving. So this huge black swirling object, I feel, was intentional, so we would stop and look. So now we feel this was almost like an invitation to be filmed. As I said, the whole timing of this was absolute perfection. I did an emergency stop in the middle of the road, and we thought that we were actually seeing a crop circle being made.
Jeez.
We jumped out the car very, very fast, just like simply like Starsky and Hutch, and grabbed the binoculars. And it is at this point, then Paul basically kind of confirmed. I first thought it was a helicopter, but then Paul looked again. And then I'll pass you on to Paul, and Paul can sort of continue on the story.
Okay.
Hi, George.
Hi, Paul. Fascinating. My gosh.
Yeah, we stopped the car, and Andrew looked through the binoculars, and he thought there was a helicopter coming over the rise. And he passed the binoculars to me, and I had a look. And I couldn't believe it. To me, it looked like a silver disc. So with that, I said to Andrew, it's definitely not a helicopter. So we went to the back of the vehicle and went from there.
And, Paul, this issue, because I've looked at all of your video, I've watched all of it, and the thing that's intriguing to me is that seemed to be a white light, not a glint of sun, because it has an intensity that is far brighter than you would associate with a light. At that moment, when you're seeing that for the first time, could you see any spinning, which is so strange because that light seems stationary and yet the object seems to move?
Yes, I could see some sort of slight movement going on there, but I wasn't 100% sure. So I got the JVC camera out and went from there.
Now, George and Coast audience, what happened is Paul has his good professional video camera mounted on a tripod in a position, and he starts rolling mm-hmm. and has 10 minutes in a tripod good video of an object that I'm now going to turn back to Andrew, who can describe, because he's the one who is moving around. Paul is staying in a position and gets essentially the best video, but it is Andrew who is moving out in the field with his handheld camera, and now we're going to hear Andrew's description of what he's seeing.
This is just riveting. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yes, this is obviously quite an interesting time. What basically happened is that there was basically a point when the object disappeared, and at this point we realized that our batteries were running quite low, so I was frantically phoning everybody, including Charles Mallett, who's the owner of Silent Circle in Wiltshire. And basically what Charles suggested, he says, why don't you go and run into the field? And at this particular point, I did exactly that, leaving Paul behind on a hill so Paul could continue filming. I literally then jumped in the car and drove to this location, and I'm having a three-way conversation here between Paul and myself and Charles. So I run into the field, sort of looking for this object and a possible crop circle formation. So basically, what happens at that point, I don't realize, I wasn't aware that the actual craft had risen again. So Paul phones me. Paul calls me on the cell phone, and he said, "Have you realized you just walked past it?" And this I found quite extraordinary, as I literally could not see the craft from that point. So what Paul did, Paul guided me back towards where the craft was, and he literally, the minute I got it, so he could see me in the actual camera in his viewfinder, and he guided me to that point, and he said, "Right, basically stop," and I stopped right there in the middle of the craft. And I got my camcorder, my own personal camcorder, pointing into that direction, and there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing visible on my camcorder. But yet, the craft is visible on Paul's viewfinder further up the hill. And Paul basically says to me at that particular point, he says, "Right, you're in front of it." He says, "Raise your hand," he said, "raise your hand." So, and the minute I raised my hand, There was almost like an electrical type buzz going, you know, shooting down my arm. And at that particular point, I really did think I actually did touch the craft. So it was quite an extraordinary event. It was just amazing to feel this. And afterwards, and I was watching, when I actually reviewed the video myself, I was completely astounded myself to what I was viewing. After that, at this particular event, I was running around the field hoping to find a crop circle. Sadly, there wasn't one. But after that, I returned back to Paul, and the craft slowly but surely started to disappear. I'll dispatch it back to Linda.
And Paul, what exactly at that point did you see anything about this craft that is suspended? And I would like George and the Coast audience to realize that you can go to my news website, earthfiles.com, and you can see a series of images that Paul and Andrew have provided that show how this craft is in the sky and how it goes down below the hill. The videotape is extraordinary, but they have a contractual agreement with a film company to release this, and that's why we don't have a clip of that video, and I understand that. But the images themselves and still are extremely impressive. And what is, to me, interesting, Paul, is that you're still there at your tripod. And would you describe what you were seeing that you thought was motion?
What I could see basically was a silver disc in the distance through my viewfinder. I could see movement. I'm not sure exactly what it was doing, but it seemed very, maybe slight motion, spinning, maybe slightly spinning.
And what was your reaction or your impression of why that light, once it rotated into the position with the light to your left, the light stays there. Even if it's spinning, that light never changes, did it?
Yeah, it could have possibly been a reflection from the sun on the craft, but it definitely looked silver. So.
But even if it were spinning, you would think that you would see a change in that light. It was almost as if the light itself had its own space in relationship to whatever that craft was.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah.
And, George, this is the only video that I have ever seen in crop circle country where something that you would say clearly on nearly a half hour of sustained running videotape on a tripod can be seen for long time segments, 10 minutes and 15 minutes, in visible light videotape.
That's huge, too, because we've never had anything like this to look at, have we?
No, absolutely not. And I think that Andrew and Paul have something really special here. And I'm hoping that everything is going to go forward well with the release of all of this in a film so that everybody can eventually see this as the video that I have seen. It's quite impressive. And another thing, Charles Mallett at the Silent Circle Research Center in Compton Bassett received two emails from residents who also saw what they describe as UFOs in the sky at almost exactly the same time that night of June 14th in the Barbary Castle region, exactly where Paul and Andrew were. One was a sighting around 8 p.m. Remember, they were videotaping this craft at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that some people who had gone to visit a new formation at Wayland Smithy on that evening saw, quote, two thin black UFOs on the eastern horizon. At the time, I said that I thought they were the classic triangle shape. And I'll pause here for a second to say that when you study their video in absolutely running detail without stop, you get the impression that the object almost has a trapezoid, very odd shape, that it's not completely and totally circular, but you're not sure because of this bright light. And they continue, the classic triangle shape, but I was seeing them edge on and traveling toward us east to west. So they appeared as thin black shapes with a slight bulge in the middle. I estimate they were a long way off when I saw them, at least maybe 5 miles, but they were still large, much wider than an airplane or the hot air balloon that we had seen earlier that day, and they were very black against the sunny blue sky. Another witness at 8:20 p.m., which is very close to when Paul and Andrew were videotaping, said that after for about 2 minutes, an orb seemed to come and then disappear, and they kept staring at the sky, and the orb would reappear again as if it were almost playing cat and mouse with them. Here I am, here I'm not, here I am. They watched it for several minutes, and then the orb disappeared, and shortly after, in the same place that the orb disappeared, a small black object emerged from a cloud that they had noticed. And now this object is coming from the cloud, and George, it looked to them like an airplane, but an odd airplane that was traveling slowly and close enough that they should have heard sound, and they did not hear any sound. These are all anomalies that were occurring in the Barbary Castle area within 8 to 8:30 p.m. on June 14th. And one of the things about this is going back to the mid-80s, I remember very distinctly a conversation that I had with a man who had worked for government intel in the United States, and he told me that they had come to the conclusion that they were dealing with some sort of non-human intelligence, and that it had a technology that could deflect photons. And he put it this way: we think that you could have a crowd of 100 people in a park, and they could deflect photons so that images of a craft or an entity would not reach the retinas of 99 people, and one person would see a craft, and nobody else could. In this case, that's what's remarkable. The videotape is long and sustained of a silver disc, and yet Paul can see it through his eyes, through his camera. Andrew is out trying to find it, and he can't see anything, and Paul is provoked to call him on a cell phone and try to guide him, and Andrew could never see the craft with his retina. Something very peculiar was blocking Andrew's ability to see it while Paul was able to film and videotape nearly a half hour of sustained and clear footage.
Now, Linda, is this ongoing, or does this episode seem to be over, at least for now?
Well, very interesting question right now. Of the three patterns that they have discovered this morning, this would be, we're talking about, a month and a half later, but we've often wondered about time delays when people have seen anomalies and when patterns might show up in those areas. I'd ask him if where the craft had gone down in the video or in the landscape, it would be line of sight between Barbary Castle and Swindon and the new Hackpen formation this morning would be in that general direction. Would something have occurred having to do with this craft on June 14th that might provoke on July 31st here, July 30th in the U.S., this formation? See, none of us know except that we are dealing with the highest strangeness here. And if this program tonight can get across to the North American audience that whatever they are hearing from complete misinforming people about the crop formations in England being all man-made, it's not true. We are dealing with huge anomalies. And when you realize it was raining so hard yesterday that it sounded like windows would break, and there is mud and water in the streets, and they walk into a formation and show me, as they came in, digital images fresh within the last half hour of circles that are completely clean and pristine.
Stay with us. Linda Moulton Howe, live from the United Kingdom with some special reports of high strangeness in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Boy, the emails are flooding in after Ramond Grace's energizing water experiment. I'll read them tomorrow on Coast to Coast AM. When we come right back, we go back live to the United Kingdom with Linda Moulton Howe. Linda, this light anomaly picture that you sent us at this crop circle site is also bizarre, isn't it?
It is truly, and it is the slow motion of an event that Winston Keach, who is a Yorkshire engineer, he now specializes in developing renewable energy processes. He comes from a highly technical engineering background, and he is the one who is has the resources to invest in four very expensive infrared cameras. I'll give you the specs here in a minute, but I'd like you and the audience to understand the timeline here. With Andrew and Paul, we were at June 14th, more than a month ago, at Barbary Castle. And now we're going to move forward in time a month from that event to July 14th, same date, but in July, in the Eastfield. And this is the night or the early morning hours before maybe a lot of the audience has seen that very tightly woven basket weave circle with the arc coming out of each end. That wasn't there. That was not there when Winston Keach set up his, they are four, I'm going to give this to you, four cameras that are a 0.0002 lux made by Samsung in infrared with 570 line resolution on closed circuit TV, and they're mounted of all four cameras, two per T-bar on poles in front of his van. That's his standard operation. And he had also, he had some fixed digital equipment because you've got to have angles on things in order to gauge the distance, the heights, make comparisons in the visible color world on still digital frames with what you get on infrared in order to make a comparison to identify which images suddenly show up that are only in infrared. That is extremely important to have those comparisons between the heat world of infrared and the visible world. So he had started his cameras operating a little after midnight on July 14th, knew there's nothing in the Eastfield. They can see that. At 12:24 a.m., we're on July 14th, Eastfield, two fast, rapid light flashes begin at 12:24 a.m., followed by two large dark spots that move around in the wheat and appear to be later joined by smaller gray spots, all moving until 1:44 a.m. That's an hour and 20 minutes of anomalies on infrared running without break, and that it is exactly in the spot in the Eastfield where in the morning after sunup and after thick fog had cleared from that end of the field. They never saw this formation, George. That's what's so ironic.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
They never saw it. And here it is. And at earthfiles.com, I have tried with still images to show how you can go and line up. You can look at the tram lines in infrared. You can look at the background, and you can see in a color image that Charles Mallett went the next day, set up exactly where Wynn had his poles and the cameras, and he took a color daylight reality check, and you can compare the tram lines, and you're looking at the formation that then in the color field, and you can go back and you can look, and I have an RGB enhanced image at Earth Files that was taken in the during those night during the, all the strange infrared anomalies, because Winston wanted to see, well, what are these dark things doing? That the motion, that what has happened here? And he took an RGB enhanced just to see if there was a pattern. And there was not during that hour and 20 minutes, and there was not until you get to what he thinks, Winston Keach thinks, that at 1:45 a.m., the first line, that's what they call it in infrared, might have been in the Eastfield 40 minutes. If they ended at 1:44, that 1 minute later, there might have been a first shadow line, but it would not have been the whole pattern. And this gets into the issue. How are these patterns made? Why are there sometimes delays? Why sometimes do they seem to come rapidly? Well, here on Coast to talk about this highly strange infrared video and these extraordinary woven wheat layers that he was into that morning is Charles Mallett, director of the Silent Circle Research Center in Compton Bassett. Now, Winston Keach wanted to be here and would have been here, but George, we are all surrounded by swine flu hitting people right and left. I hope before I leave that I will not get it, but if I do, I do. It is just raging in England, and Winston is sick with this flu. He has two friends also who have been confirmed by lab tests of having swine flu. And Charles has studied all of Winston Keach's full video that go on for hours. And I want to ask him a question that intrigued me when I first saw Winston Keach's videotape. And Charles has been in the formations and studying them now for 12 years. And Charles, I'm wondering, have you ever seen any infrared video that has anything on the infrared video that even resembles what Winston Keach got in the Eastfield July 14?
No, I have not. Nothing specifically like that. Obviously, there's surveillance work done each summer here, and infrared is often used because there are things happening in the infrared spectrum that we often do not see in the visible light. However, what Winston Keach appears to have filmed that night, I would consider unprecedented in the history of the crop circle was phenomenal. I have never seen something like that before. I know Winston Keach relatively well. I've followed his work over the years in surveillance. He comes to Wiltshire each summer and looks at this land in a very intelligent way using very advanced technologies. He's a highly credible witness. So when he calls me up and saying, I've got something very strange, Charles, and you need to look at this, I had a look and I showed it to experts in the field, and they were intrigued by what was happening in the infrared, especially because the other technologies he was using were unable to perceive what was happening there. So we do have bright flashes of light in the field that are very, very clearly visible in the infrared, and the subsequent disappearance of those lights and the appearance of what appear to be two black somethings, quite large relative to the later, smaller, grayish shapes that seem to be moving in the area where the formation was later found. So we absolutely do have something in the field which we cannot explain at this time, filmed in the infrared. Linda.
And Charles, you know, it's very easy for you, me, Winston, all of us, to jump to the conclusion that whatever the light was, it provoked, I'm going to use the word, provoked the release of the dark things, because we don't know what they are. It was very rapid. You see the light, George, on the video. And to remember that you could have been standing there with binoculars and you would not have seen this bright, bright double flash of light. That is eerie to contemplate right there. Sure. And how much is happening around us in infrared that our retinas are not seeing. But on that videotape, immediately after this bright double flash, these dark, whatever they are there, and they begin to move. And if I understand from Wynn's time, he has motion that you've studied. It goes on for an hour and 20 minutes?
That's correct. It's approximately activity. After the two flashes of light that are very clearly apparent in the film, in the infrared, kind of reminded me of the way in the movie segment for Terminator, I know it's a bit quirky, but there's a flash of light and it's just there, and that's kind of what happened effectively. So the activity with these two black shapes moving around for approximately 1 hour and a half is very unusual indeed, and the formation seems to have appeared sometime very soon after that. It's pretty unusual in so far as the shapes appear to be solid. that are showing just after the lights, but at the same time, this is pretty grainy. The cameras were positioned several hundred meters from the formation, and it was a very, very dark night, so the ambient lighting was minimal. So these are grainy images, but there is absolutely something there which is anomalous, according to my understanding, according to the understanding of experts in the field, so to speak. So at this time, we have something that we really need to attempt to understand with a further study. Linda?
And you got into the formation that Winston, I think, called you, and you headed out to the East Field. So you were in there fresh. And for listeners who may not have been in crop formations, for those of us who have been in hundreds, when you look at a basket weave like this one in the East Field, George, it is extraordinary. This kind of tight weave has happened only perhaps in one small patch of a field in Pennsylvania a few years back. And back in 1999, there was what was called the woven basket that I was there with half a dozen people, and we got to see some of it, but the farmer came and completely obliterated
it. Yeah, he was upset, wasn't he?
Oh, he chased us out. So this makes this East Field event really extraordinary in all the annals of crop formation. And now, since Charles was in there, and he's a very experienced eye and mind in crop formations, I'd like him to give us now his firsthand impressions of getting into it the very first minutes in the East Field.
Okay.
So I actually went to that formation around about 10 a.m. on day one. Winston actually left the field. He finished filming at 4:57 a.m. and left the field soon afterwards after a bank of fog came down over the end of the field, so the cameras were no longer able to penetrate the field. It was kind of getting light, but it was imperceptible at that time. The formation was first physically seen from a nearby roadway at around about 5 a.m. by Andrew Perker, who you were talking with just a bit earlier. I entered the formation around about 10 a.m. Unfortunately, it had a fair number of... there's a lot of tourists in southern England looking at crop circles this time of year for very good reasons. So the formation had been walked on, and we approach a formation in a clear and objective way. It's like we approach it as a crime scene. We're looking for physical evidence of something anomalous there, or otherwise, whatever the case may be. There had been visitors there, and it was a relatively small formation, so we had to take that into account when doing our examination. However, we did get into the formation, and, you know, 10 o'clock, which is relatively early. We did examine areas where it was most likely where people hadn't walked, was all the peripheral areas of the mesh weave of the formation. We did not find typical kinds of damage that you would see if the thing had been smashed down by a bunch of people for some kind of joke. The weaving on the ground within the formation is pretty unusual. As Linda said, that's kind of happened pretty much once in southern England with a couple of similar things around the world, but generally speaking, that was considered unprecedented in the way that formation was woven down. Very tight, very sharp weave over a pretty large 160 feet diameter, maybe, circular area. And when viewed from above, it's actually a pretty sophisticated weave. It's a kind of a basket weave which is sectioned into four quarters, almost like some kind of interference pattern. For that to appear by the hand of physical everyday people in a short space in the pitch dark, I would consider not viable.
And George and Coast audience, keep in mind that Winston Keach and his infrared cameras showed there was nothing there in that East Field by 1:44 a.m. There was nothing there, and yet by 1:45, Winston thinks he has the first line of something in the field, and then we have the 5 a.m. report. All you have to do is look at that pattern and realize that between 1:45 a.m. and 5, there are no humans in the world that could have made that pattern, right? And we had infrared that was running, and if there had been people, that would have been one thing. Instead, we have all of these anomalies moving. And one more very important piece that ties to that video that I sent to Lex to put up at the Coast site. It was 1 week before, on July 7th, Winston Keach was running his infrared video cameras, again, very near Eastfield, at the bottom of Knapp Hill, and it was 3:24 a.m., and he gets another highly strange moving shadow first. If you watch all the video, you see a trail that looks like a shadow that suddenly lights up in two phases, and Winston made a slow motion video that I could share with Coast and have at Earth Files, along with some other videos that he made of this. And the light seemed to provoke, and I'm just going to say, because I don't know what else, it almost looks like you're looking at legs that begin to move, and then the whole thing slowly dissipates in the air. And then, this is what Winston emailed me. He said the height is estimated against the height of the grass surrounding the entity and the known one-meter height of the distant fence post in the frame, with the known distance exceeding three times that of the entity to camera, and later compared against the size of rabbits that hop along the same piece of hillside an hour later in his infrared videotape. He says the tiny entity is just over two rabbits tall. So we're talking about something in scale to the environment that is small and yet seems to have something of a, I'm just going to say, perhaps a small humanoid shape that is provoked almost as if it is released by these very bright flashes on infrared. And what it raised in my own mind was, as you watch it dissipate, you're left with the distinct feeling that whatever this was, the light, like the July 14th release of whatever the dark things are, that the light releases, if we can use that verb, whatever this small entity is that clearly seems to start moving on what appears perhaps to be legs, and just before your eyes on infrared, not your retina, dissipates in the air, leaving me wondering, well, then, whatever has been released that can dissipate, is it still moving in the fields and none of us can see it with our eyes?
Linda, this is just incredible. And earlier you had said, you know, 80 to 90% you believe could be real. You know, even if 1% was real, that explains the whole situation is very, very bizarre.
Oh, well, we know that the spring formations in England in oilseed rape, that difficult flowering, very thick, viney stuff, no human made those patterns. And we're talking now, when we get into barley and wheat, it's easier for the hoaxers and those that deliberately, for some reason, want to muddy the waters around the true phenomenon, that they can do this. And what I'm trying to do is contradict what I can't believe has been going on the internet with headlines, even with 100% was in a headline before I left Albuquerque for England, that said 100% of the English crop formations were man-made. That is preposterous. And here is Charles for one last comment before the break.
We've got the break. We'll have to do it next hour.